This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The killing of Charlie Kirk yesterday in Utah is still the big news of the day, and we continue to cover it and bring to you what we know and what we are learning, and developments have happened this morning. To tell us more about that, the National Law Enforcement and Intelligence Correspondent for NBC News, Tom Winter, joins the show. We appreciate your time, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you? Of course, I say I'm personally doing well. This obviously would have been a tough day for our country, given the 24th anniversary of 9/11. As I sit here and speak with you, they're still reading the names at Ground Zero. And then obviously yesterday's news is just compounds upon that because of obviously what it portends for targeted violence and political violence in our country.
We are continuing to see updates from national news outlets about a person of interest. The Utah Department of Public Safety and the FBI released a photo of someone they're calling a person of interest in connection with the shooting. It has been reported that a rifle has been recovered in the nearby woods. Can you let us know, what do we know so far regarding the rifle, ammunition, and person of interest?
Yeah, sure, Amy. We received an update approximately 9 a.m. Eastern time, and we were on the Today Show talking about it then. And in the course of that, what officials have said, and I'm going to incorporate information from Utah state authorities as well as the FBI in Utah, that yesterday they were able to, in the hours overnight, come across some surveillance camera video that they have. They've put out two images now of a person they're describing as a person of interest, and one of the photos appears to be from a stairwell. And in fact, at that press conference, they said they recovered a video from the stairwell of the building where this individual apparently fired at Charlie Kirk. He goes up on the roof, fires that shot, and then flees by actually jumping off the roof, and then goes into a wooded area in a neighborhood nearby the university. That's where they recover this bolt-action, high-powered rifle, as they described it. Then seen going through the neighborhood, and as you all know, these days, so many people have the ring cameras, the various surveillance cameras on their houses, and so that allows them to kind of track the movements. You see them on a camera at one house, okay, what's the next house over, or the house across the street? Do they have a camera? You track that next movement, and so it's really just shoe leather work that detectives and investigators are doing, and at the same point in time, they're trying to use what are some of the most basic techniques in being a detective to then use the best technology they have, whether or not they can get an image that works for facial recognition. They'll analyze where the cell phones are in that area and be able to try and see, okay, what cell phones were in use. What cell phones were in use at the time at the university? Are there any that are then in use in that neighborhood? Can they start to triangulate if this individual has their cell phone on? There's some ways around that too. So look, it's high tech meets low tech, old fashioned investigative work, but it's where we're at now, which is they believe they have good images of this individual. They've released those images of a person of interest, and now they've got to try to find out who this person is and where they're at. This becomes one of the most dangerous parts of the investigation. information, because now whoever did this knows that there are images out there. And if it in fact is that person, they're going to know that that they've got some heat on them. And that's a time where sometimes people can act out. I'm referring specifically to the Sarnaev brothers in Boston, what they did once the images were released there. And on the other hand, maybe has this person kind of go to ground. But typically it's helpful. They'll get the tips from the public. And hopefully we're looking at an arrest here soon and the successful charges. Obviously, this investigation has moved forward significantly overnight and into the morning today. And that's just the information they've given to us, because, as you both know, what they've told us so far is probably lagging where they actually are in the case.
So the images of the alleged shooter, we believe it's him, the weapon, they believe they have the weapon. At what point do they, in the investigation, start thinking about motive? It's all about catching him now. When do they get to the part where they think about motive? We heard about messages written on bullets. We've seen the T-shirt that he's wearing. It's really hard to see what's on it, but there is an image on it, a hat, too, that he's wearing. So when do they get to the point where motive is the priority?
You know, that's something that can be helpful in trying to find somebody. So that's not something that is, you know, certainly, obviously, as you alluded to, Chris, the priority is finding this person. They do not believe that there's a broader threat to the public. They believe that this individual, this was a targeted killing specific to Charlie Kirk. Obviously, given the fact that they would have had the opportunity to fire on other individuals there, and in fact, only fired the one round at Kirk, helps inform that opinion. But you want to find this person. On the other hand, if you can look at motive, and there's something about this person, their ideology, where they come from, why did they specifically go after Kirk, perhaps that can help you in trying to find them. So I don't think it takes a complete backseat as you're trying to find this individual. Certainly, you're hoping throughout the course of this that they can take him into custody. Their belief is that if they can do that, then they can bring a case. Motive becomes critical at that point. Obviously, there'll be a state homicide charge. But depending upon the motive, that could also potentially bring federal charges into play. So that's something that they're clearly going to be focused on. We have not heard anything definitive on the motive. They are looking into whether or not there were any sort of writings on any sort of on the ammunition shell casings. If that is borne out to be true, that's a troubling trend, because it'll be the third time in the last 9 months that somebody has written messages on ammunition or on magazines. We saw it, of course, in the shooting of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, which is just about 3.5-4 blocks from where I am sitting right now. And the person that they've charged in that case, in Luigi Mangione, you saw it a couple of weeks ago with that horrible school shooting that took place during a Catholic mass at a school and church in Minneapolis. And then if that's the case here today, this is part of a trend, people trying to speak out. And by the way, the analysis of these individuals that's occurring by the FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit and other units, it's very clear that these individuals study what other shooters and what other people that are acting out in targeted violence, study what they're doing. And so this is now, if in fact is the case, is a very troubling trend.
At this point of an investigation, how open are investigators, FBI, local law enforcement, to all possibilities of what, you know, I think about this, and this is more conspiratorial, but it's very likely that it's just a domestic person who wanted to do this and, you know, has an ideology, whether it's left or right, whatever it is. And there's also the possibility, because we know foreign governments do benefit from unrest that happens here sometimes, the possibility that he was put up to it by a foreign entity. Is that a thing that they look at, or are they just pretty much focusing on a domestic motive?
Great question. 100% something they're looking at. They were asked that question specifically while we were on the air on NBC Nightly News last night about the idea of any sort of foreign connection. They said no comment. That's not a yes. It's not a no. They're clearly looking at that. And yes, given what we've seen, just to kind of back up why this is a concern, we have seen foreign governments try to get involved in U.S. politics. We do know that governments like Iran have tried to carry out recently, initiatives on U.S. soil. So certainly the idea by foreign governments is to sow discord in the United States to get us to be fired up and riled up in a violent way at each other. So given the fact that, you know, that's the type of incident that we have here, we have something that is highly political charged, a well-known activist and commentator on the conservative side of things, that's something that has to be looked at. Have we seen any evidence of that so far? No, but, you know, there's no evidence to discount that at the moment, just based on what we know publicly from officials.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom, you were talking about being on the Today Show reporting with NBC, and one, I think, of the kind of the phenomenons of the modern social media age is that these very graphic videos of events like this, specifically of Charlie Kirk's assassination, it's circulating on social media. Now, news outlets use their discretion on what they're going to show on television. NBC, I'm sure, had to make decisions of how much they would show. How has social media and the way that these videos can just be shared to millions of people, how has that changed how a news outlet like NBC makes decisions on the video?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have your own standards as a reporter, and then those fall in line with our organizational standards. You look at the videos that were out there yesterday, they're highly graphic. Mm-hmm. They show the actual moment of the shooting and its immediate aftermath. A very difficult video to watch. I think there's a lot of concern in the law enforcement community about these videos because for several reasons. There's a desensitized impact on the population that people will watch these videos and kind of become desensitized to violence. And so, well, I did that. You know, this person did that. I could do that. That's a concern. There's also the idea that some of the social media algorithms will see you watching that and say, oh, that's an area of interest. I can feed more of that to you. And of course, that has a tremendous impact. And then the impact that it has on kids and on young adults. So you look at this and law enforcement looks at it and says, this is information that is coming directly, being piped directly into the phones of these kids. What impact does that have as far as being able to compute that violence? It's very difficult. And so it's a huge concern in the law enforcement community. It's a huge concern among people that cover it. You know, here, you just look at the basic, if it was your family member, what would you want to do? And so it's not really relevant to the story to show you a horrible aftermath. What does that do to our understanding of it? It really doesn't do a whole heck of a lot. We know that there's been a fatality here. There's been an assassination. So you have to factor all of those things into play, just given how inflammatory the videos are and just the sensitivity of the audience. So it's a fine line, obviously, between, you know, not showing the actual incident and the gravity of it, because that has an impact, but also just doing the right thing by the family. So I can't recall an incident where we've shown the fatal shooting of an individual, at least in my recent memory. And I think they're evaluated on a case-by-case basis, but we're certainly sensitive to that.
Tom Winter, national law enforcement and intelligence correspondent for NBC News. Appreciate it. Really good stuff today, and we thank you for the reporting.
Thank you both.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.